Welcome to the Nashville Lewis University Discover You podcast. There are many, many times when the world comes together and celebrates one special occasion. Holidays, the beginning of a new year, sports events, and many other occasions. Today's episode will be about a very special sports event that has existed for more than a century and is only celebrated for a month every 4 years. The World Cup, the most prestigious worldwide sports event. My name is Ahmed Mashidani, and today I'll sit down with my co-host Keith Baltimore to talk about the world of football, or soccer, like how it is called in the United States, as well as talk about the upcoming World Cup happening very, very soon. So buckle up and get ready for a brief journey through the history of football and the World Cup.
Well, you know, it's that time of the year when one of my favorite things happens, which is football season is kicked off. And I am so excited that we are dedicating an entire episode of Discover You to talk about one of my most favorite things, football.
You're not the only fan of it. I'm also a big fan of football. I'm also very excited for it.
Yeah. I grew up watching football, man. I mean, my family is a diehard Pittsburgh Steelers fan. If my dad is listening, he will be so proud. Yeah, we are all about the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I mean, I was from Indiana.
Hold on.
What's wrong?
I thought we were talking about football.
Yeah, that's what we said. We're going to talk about football.
Right? I don't think the Pittsburgh Steelers are a football team.
What are you talking about? Pittsburgh Steelers, the black and gold? Of course it's a football team. What do you mean?
It's an American football team, but it's not a football team. A real football team is like Manchester United, Manchester City, Arsenal, Barcelona.
Wait. So we're obviously talking about two different types of football. That's what
yeah.
It sounds like. So I'm talking about the kind of football where they have a pigskin and an odd-shaped ball, and they got helmets and big pads, and they run up and down a field with a quarterback and and so on. That's not what you're talking about, is it?
I don't think that's football. Yeah. What? In real football, you usually use your foot to kick the ball. And that's how you play the sport. You don't carry the ball in football.
That's very interesting because you're right. You don't. I wonder. So if we're not talking about football, at least we're not talking about my team, the Pittsburgh Steelers. It sounds like we're talking about that other kind of football that most Americans don't seem to know much about, which we call soccer, but the real name is probably football.
Football, yeah.
You know, that's so fascinating that football, like, as you said, is appropriately named, you use your foot to move the ball.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like everywhere else but here in the United States, we don't seem to understand or get the significance of either that or how big it is all around the world. We still just have our, you know, our version of it. I wonder how many people are fans of like American football, not soccer, but American football. I wonder.
So I'm pretty sure it's way less than the amount of fans for real football. And because the real football, its number of fans, it exceeds billions. That's how big it is. And American football is mostly popular in the United States. And let's say only half of the population of the United States watches it. Yeah, and let's say an additional 100 million worldwide watches it. That's like 300 million max.
Right. But if we're talking about football, like football outside, as soon as you step outside of the United States, we're talking about billions and billions of fans. Yeah, actually, that's kind of cool. And it's got me wondering how and why football is so cool. What's about it? What's going on with it that billions of people. So what, from now on, if you're going to be talking about football, we're going to be talking about football that takes place outside of the United States, and then which Americans call soccer, but it's actually called and should be called football. So that's what we're talking about.
The way that, or the reasons why soccer is, or football is one of the biggest, or the biggest sport worldwide, is because of many different aspects. There have been many memorable moments throughout the years that have been associated with that sport. Many players who have been, were obviously great at the sport are very memorable. You have Pele, you have Diego Maradona, you have Johan Cruyff, you have many, many other players. And those are just some reasons. And for some reason, it's not as popular in the United States, even though it's popular everywhere else. There isn't an exact answer why soccer or football isn't as popular in the United States, but it definitely has to do with the amount of action that happens throughout the game. There isn't as much action. There is usually some moments where the ball is just being passed around, no attacking or defending is happening. There is also sometimes low scoring cards. When you score a goal in soccer, it's 1 point. Whilst in American football, it's 6 points and an additional point or additional 2 points for an additional play. So you can only imagine.
I don't even know if we can compare football outside of the United States with football that's takes place in the United States. We really are, of course, talking about soccer versus football, right? And you just rattled off some really big major football superstars, international, that like tons of people know. I wonder if there's some kind of economics behind it, because the football, and again, we're talking, when we say football, we're talking about football outside the United States. It seems like it's purely enjoyed with just a field and a ball. Whereas American football has all of these parts to it where, yes, you need a ball, but you have to have these padding and you have to all these kind of this kind of special setup. And so it almost seems like the ease of the game, the international version of a football, makes it easy to enjoy, and maybe that adds to its popularity.
Yeah, it's really vanilla. It's like it's really basic. Anyone can pick up a soccer ball and basically start playing. They might not be as good as a professional player, but they can definitely enjoy it and play the game.
So you got to school me now. So you got to tell me how do I get excited? Tell me about the game, man, so I can know and enjoy it on the level that you do.
So the game is the entire match is 90 minutes. And that's excluding any extra time. Sometimes extra time is added if there is like an injury or there is a goal celebration that took too long, or there is an issue where between players where they fight with each other or anything. Extra time, that's when extra time is added. But it's usually 90 minutes. And let's say, and that 90 minutes actually ends, and there is no extra time, even if there was a draw, except in situations where there is like a during a quarterfinals where a team has to qualify in order to move up or move forward with the competition. That's when an overtime is added, and the overtime is 30 minutes total. And it is divided in two halves, so 15, and then the first half of the overtime ends, then another 15 minutes.
So I would imagine there is, just like in American football, there is a peak, a kind of pinnacle time, an event that takes place that gets all the energy and all the attention, where the best of the best come together. So an American version of that, of course, is the Super Bowl. What is it in football internationally?
So it is, there is no one answer, actually. You were expecting one answer, but there isn't, because there is a Champions League, and that usually happens every year. So every year, football fans, it's usually combined of the best teams from each league, from each country. And all these, the best teams basically compete in one big competition. And there is an even bigger event, and that happens every 4 years. It is started about 100 years ago, and it is called the World Cup. And it is actually happening less than 2 weeks from now.
So school us. So tell us what we should be looking out for. Tell us about the teams and maybe with some of the really cool players that we should be paying attention to.
So there are so many great international teams that are competing in the World Cup, this World Cup specifically. There is definitely England, there is Germany, Spain, Croatia. Croatia was the runner-up of the last World Cup. There is France.
So who
It's
won? So the last. At the last World Cup, which would have been what, 2018,
yes.
right before the pandemic, who won? Who was the major? Who were the major competitors there? You remember who won that?
France won that, and it was actually held in France, and France won that.
Oh wow, that must have been so cool.
Oh yeah, it was, and they also had such a great team that it was sort of like undeniable. Their one was undeniable. No one was able to sort of dispute it, even though they won by only a difference of one goal.
So who are your personal favorites? Who are you looking out for? Who are you watching?
So I forgot to mention Argentina and Brazil. I'm really hoping that the final will be Argentina against Brazil. Two reasons for that. The first one is because the amount of like amazing players both countries have. I mean, Argentina has Lionel Messi. If you don't know Lionel Messi, he's a direct competitor to Cristiano Ronaldo. Him and Cristiano Ronaldo are like always, they're always compared to like with each other. And with Brazil, they have Neymar, they have Anthony, they have Fred, they have Vinicius Junior. I mean, I'm pretty sure that you, Mr. Keith, don't know who these players are, but I can assure you they are really, really amazing at what they're doing.
You're absolutely right. I don't. And so I won't pretend like I do. Some of these names keep popping up. I'm like, okay, I kind of heard about them. But so tell me one of your favorite, most awesome football moments.
So my absolute favorite moments happened in the World Cup of 2010. And it is not entirely due to like how awesome and amazing that competition was. It also has to do with my own personal life, because my family purchased a home in that specific year, and we moved into it, and we were like all sort of happy and delighted that, well, we moved into our first home.
And how
And
old were you? Because you had to be. How old were
oh,
you?
I was only 8 years old, but I
8 years
swear
old.
I can still remember like so many stuff about that time. So, do you know who Luis Suarez is?
No.
Okay, so he's a player from Uruguay. Uruguay is a country in South America.
That I
And
do know.
okay, great. So one of the most memorable moments in all World Cups throughout the years happened with that player, Luis Suarez. And I will explain it to you like detail by detail. So it was, you remember how I mentioned that 90 minutes is like the entire match? And if there is in certain situations where overtime is played. So in that situation, overtime was being played.
And it was in the last 5 minutes of overtime. The game was tied 0-0. And Uruguay was playing against Ghana. Ghana is a country in Africa. And
West Africa, yes, I used to live
yes. Great. Well,
there.
that's good to know. So Luis Suarez, his team was gonna concede by Ghana through because one of the Ghana players had shot the ball or headed the ball. They used their head to shoot the ball to the goal. The ball was about to cross the goal line, but then Luis Suarez, he's an attacker player. He's an attack in the attack position, which means that anytime the ball touches his hand, he's immediately gonna be fouled. And in that it was happening in the penalty box, so it was gonna be considered a penalty for Ghana.
Huh.
And what Luis Suarez did is he saved the ball using his hand, which he's not allowed to, but he did it on purpose just to save his country. The referee immediately gave a penalty to Ghana and also gave Luis Suarez a red card, which is basically a disqualification. So he's out of the game. He can't return back. And so you have all these details in your head. It's almost the last 5 minutes of the game. That game was going to be the game that qu would qualify them to the last four teams.
Wow.
So
Wow.
you have all that emotions going, and now Ghana are going to be able going to have a penalty and have an opportunity to score. It's a really big chance when you have a penalty. It's a really big chance. It means that you are most likely are going to score. And do you know what a penalty is in soccer?
In this version, I do. I happen to know what that is. Yeah.
Okay, great. So the Ghana players goes to the ball and kicks it towards a goal to perform the penalty. The ball hits the bar and it goes out. So now they have missed the ball, basically the winning goal, because the game ended at 0-0 and the overtime ended at 0-0. And now both teams, you need a winner, which means that both teams are going to compete in a penalty shootout. And it's basically five, each team has five shots on each other's against each other. And the first team that reaches five without missing is basically the team that wins. And Uruguay actually won from that shootout. And to this day, I'm not kidding you, to this day, Luis Suarez is one of the most hated people in Ghana just because of that moment.
Wow.
Yes.
Now that sounds like it's worth pulling up a YouTube video to
Oh,
watch the
definitely.
highlights from that one. Wow, man. So we got 2 weeks before the World Cup is here. I'm just wondering what should we do? How should we get this going? How should we celebrate this?
Well, you don't need to do anything to celebrate it. It's usually just pay attention to the games. And you don't have to watch every game because there are a lot. Just make sure that you know like which teams are in which group and which teams are qualifying. And sort of just know. It's all general knowledge. It's not as specific as in like the NFL or the NBA where you need to know like each team and like which their strengths are. Because you will be surprised, but in the last World Cup, Croatia went to the final with France, and Croatia was not even considered a team that was going to make the group of 16, which is after the group stages. They were expected to just be out from the first round, but they actually went ahead and reached the final. So don't expect the top team to always win.
So, who are the top teams? Anybody who's new to football outside of the US, who's the top team?
So, definitely England is such a great team to look out for. Brazil, Argentina, Germany, Spain. I mean, Croatia, mostly because of what their performance was in the last World Cup and how amazing it was. You have Morocco. Morocco is also a great team. It's an African, definitely African country, and it has so many great players. It has the most known one is Ziya Hakimi. I'm pretty sure no one knows who that is, but he's a very, very good player that plays for Chelsea. You have Ghana. Ghana is actually participating in the next world, this World Cup happening in 2 weeks, and they are still great.
So, for those who don't know, how long should we expect the World Cup to last? Because it's not just like it's not like the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it is usually 1 month. This one, I'm pretty sure it's gonna last either 28 or 29 days. And this very specific World Cup we're talking about this episode, which is happening in 2 weeks from now, it's special in its own part because it is happening in November. The World Cup is usually played in the summer. The reason why this one is played in November is because it is being played in Qatar. And to those of you who don't know, Qatar is a Middle Eastern country, and it is located in the very central of the Middle East. And during the summer, Qatar is one of the has one of the highest temperatures, which is why this World Cup has been moved to the winter time, when temperatures are a bit lower and it is the players are more able to play sort of in out in the open.
Yes. So you have almost an entire month to kind of
Yes.
enjoy the World Cup. You got time, that's the point. And what's also really cool is by the time folks are listening to this particular episode, we're going to be on the cusp of the start of the World Cup. So use this episode as your invitation, as your challenge to kind of get excited about something that's going to be happening, that's really, really cool, the World Cup.
Yes, definitely.
And that wraps up this episode. Big thanks to everyone that listened to this episode, and don't forget to tune in to the next one. In the next episode, NLU's international student and scholar specialist Maria Malumi is going to have a little chat with three of NLU's international students. Maria will help us get to know these three international students better and learn more about their experience of being international students not only at NLU but in America.